Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell live at SEC Media Days, guys. It is day three. Tomorrow, we're actually back in studio.
Yay!
And I'll tell you what, today, everybody, with the anticipation of Nick Saban and what he might say or what he might not say, we'll let you hear it coming up as part of our big story. And also, for Tennessee Vol fans, we will let you hear what Jeremy Pruitt had to say today as well. So stay tuned for that. Coming up in about 15 minutes. Hey, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey,
man.
We'd love to hear from you guys chiming in. We appreciate all the feedback. And before we get into our Falcon Report, we had Gary Danielson on last hour. And he was as frank as I've heard Gary talk about some programs, some things in the SEC. Being on TV, and I'm just preferencing this. I'm not defending anything that Gary said. I'm just glad the guy came out and said what he said to us. And I thought it was a good interview. But you know, I think being on TV, Mike, number one, you don't have the time to do what he just did with us, which is kind of go in-depth and talk about certain things. But he's also not paid for his opinions. Gary's paid for analysts. He's paid to give you analysis of the game and to tell you what's going on with the game. And he does a hell of a job of that. But if you missed the interview, guys, he was very critical of some programs and saying, you know, hey, when Sumlin was at A&M, they were a soft team and sort of said the same thing for Tennessee, which is why there are coaching changes.
Right,
now.
And I thought it was great stuff. Now, look, you know, I know that whenever we talk about SEC, two things. You got fans that are very passionate about their fan base. And, look, I've even sounded like one of those fans myself, Carl, when I bellyache about Chris Fowler and how I feel he's, you know, taking shots at Florida State back in the day when they were in the championship game or semifinal. So everybody gets very personal, and they get in their feelings when they talk about your program. But Gary, you know, I think he does a great job. I think some people, you know, can take him or leave him, but I think you're going to take your team and how he covers your team out of the equation. I thought it was really cool. He basically threw it out there. Yeah. You just laid it out. Tennessee was soft. You're not going to win football games playing like that. This guy's looking at the sideline. What are we going to dial up some goofy blitz? You know, the kind of finesse stuff that ain't going to fly in the SEC. So, I mean, I thought it was very frank. I thought it was entertaining. A lot of guys, some guys loved it. Some guys didn't agree. But some guys, they respected him for coming out there and throwing that stuff out with us.
Yeah.
We'll replay it tomorrow for guys that missed it.
Well, and here's the thing, too. And he talked about, you know, the idea of Alabama being clutch, and they are, as much as we don't want to admit it. You know, I mean,
yeah, it's got the clutch gene.
Well, but, Mike, that stuff that is also ingrained in guys through practice and the way that you go about your business.
From top to the bottom, starting
absolutely
with Saban. Yeah.
That's not something you just show up and go, well, you know what, I hope we make a play. It's expected for you to do that. And then when it comes time, you know, he threw out some examples. And I was thinking back last year, Bo, remind me, weren't they down on the road to Miss State last year and Jalen Hurts and company, they come back.
Jalen Hurts throws the pass down the seam for the go-ahead touchdown.
It's stuff like that that you just kind of, it goes forgotten outside of what they did in the national championship. So, really good stuff from Gary Danielson. But, yeah, man, hit us up, 404-741-0929. We also invite you to follow us on social media across all media platforms. Like us on Facebook. We're at 92.9 The Game. And Mike is at Mike Bell, ATL, on the Twitter. And I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929.
And we kind of – I wasn't going to go full in on the Julio argument because we talked a lot of Julio here in the offseason, but I did mention on Twitter earlier that would the new contract for Brandon Cooks, contract extension with the Rams, have any bearing on how Julio's feeling? Now, you and I cut this up earlier in the show, but for guys who missed the conversation, in brief, you could look at the Brandon Cooks contract extension. Julio got more guaranteed money 3 years ago on his new deal, but it does average out to more than $1.5 million more per season than Julio is currently making. So the point I was making on Twitter today was, you think Julio looks at that and says, I'm better than that guy? Or, I mean, is ego involved? What's the driving force when it does come down to nut-cutting time between his agent and the Falcons?
Next year, Cooks' average is $16 million, which is more than what Julio is getting. You're right.
14.25, I believe, for Julio for next year
and,
right now.
Yeah, and so the average is going to be more. This, isn't that what we've been talking about, though? It's not really the guaranteed money. A lot of this has to do with what guys are getting per year
and that's,
average.
That was the narrative that Ian Rappaport threw out there. And, again, guys, until we actually get a chance, Carl and I, I and the other Atlanta media guys to get in front of Julio with a mic and say, why did you miss OTAs? Why did you miss minicamp? Was this about contract negotiation? What do you want? You know, let's hear it from the man himself because, you know,
by that time he'll have what he wants.
Yeah, well, we've gone round and round about it. And again, no one debates what the guy means to the team. It's just a matter. All we've ever said was, can you make this work down the road that you can save time and save money for all the other little pieces you got to sign? But getting back to this contract, I don't know. I mean, we were told, and it was written, that was part of it, that he saw the Sammy Watkins deal and was like, that's ridiculous. I'm a much better athlete than that guy.
I think there's maybe three things to this. And the reason why we're discussing it, guys, is because, again, Brandon Cooks, Los Angeles Rams, wide receiver, was with the Patriots, was with the Saints at one time, traded, gets a five-year extension. It's 5 years, $80 million.
Right.
And the reason why that is important is simply because we have a wide receiver that is looking for an updated contract, a new deal. And so when you say, well, what's the market? Well, guess what? The market just – it changed again.
Right.
You have a – I'm not telling you Brandon Cooks is not a good player, but he's not Julio. So, you know, if you're in Julio's camp and you're going, wait a minute, what is the market? Is the market 15? If I told you his average was going to be 15 a year for the next 3 years, would he be happy with that? Or is he like, no, dude, I need to be a 16 and a half or,
or
17.
Does he need a penny more than Antonio Brown? And this goes back to how you perceive him. Like, we all know what the guy – we know the resume. We know he's physically tough. And by the way, guys, we're not sweating trading Julio or something like that. He's going to be a Falcon for a number of years. He's going to get taken care of by the Falcons. We're just curious how it's going to go down.
I'm not, Mike, I don't know. I think you're right. And here's the deal. I hope you're right because – I don't want to have this issue heading into the season. This is a complete distraction. We got a damn good team, and I don't want to be dealing with this. So I hope you're right, but I got to tell you, I don't know if that's going to be the case.
But, you know, Brandon Cooks, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't fit with the Saints, Patriots, and now he's on his third team. He's getting paid. The Rams are invested in him. The guy gets in the end zone, you know, so we're not putting it all on Julio, but Julio did. Look, he dropped passes. He didn't score a lot of touchdowns last year. That's not hating. That's a fact. Brandon Cooks and all the guys that are making more money than Julio, with the exception of A.J. Green and Antonio Brown, are 5 years younger than Julio.
That's another big factor.
So that's another thing which guys don't take into consideration.
That's what I was going to get to when I said there's three things that I think that are playing here. It's our Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, large, three-topping pizzas, $7.99. It's carry-out only, but it's good every night of the week. So whether you're getting back to watching baseball after the All-Star break or whatever, making a pizza party with Domino's.
The first thing is Julio's age. That and I'm not saying that because I'm worried about it. I think Julio and his people have realized I might have three good more years left. And I'm not saying from a production standpoint. I'm just talking about in the NFL where teams go, I'm not paying you that based on your age. So age is one. So he's at a point, Mike, now if he doesn't fight for this, he might not get it.
Right.
Two is when you look at the other guys around the league and comparable guys to play his position, I'm going to tell you this, and coaches will lie, but if we lined up 32 coaches in this room right here where we're at and you said, you got first dibs, what wide receiver are you picking? I'm going to tell you 30 of those 32 are picking Julio number one.
For all the things he does.
For
the total package.
So all these
run
coaches,
blocking, all the tough guards.
All these coaches can tell me what they want. The reality is when you look at this dude on film and you watch what he does, from a run block standpoint, from all the things, he's a monster. And every other coach, I'm telling you, 30 out of 32, Mike would go, I'll take Julio. So it's age, it's the idea that his guys around the league who are comparable receivers are making more. And then the other part of this is, I just think right now, when you talk about the money that's being made in the NFL, what's up, Derek? With the money being a Vanderbilt coach saying what's up to us, with the money being made in the NFL, I think all these guys are going, wait a minute. They just saw the checks handed out, $255 million. Hey, man, give me mine.
But that's why we're trying to figure out how much of this is, you know, is the ego thing. Look, 3 years ago, nobody complained when Julio's contract set the market. We've talked about that till we're blue in the face. But now Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins. Now you throw in Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, A.J. Green, Devontae Adams, all making more loot than Julio. But a lot of those guys are a lot younger than Julio. They're 24, they're 25. So, and the other thing gets back to, how do you improve this offense? And that's something that's the only reason why you and I were bellyaching about Julio not being there for minicamp is we just want to see all hands on deck to fix this offense.
Yeah. That's
By
all,
the way, look that, at this. This
that, is, that is all I want.
Saban's got a secret exit. They're taking him out to the kitchen.
Well, and I think he's actually talking to my man Big O from Miami. Big O's been down there for 25 years and covered Saban when he's with the Dolphins.
But it's just saying, they just walked Saban through the media room but out the back door, basically.
Yeah, but I think they're actually going back there so we can talk to him. Either way, yes, Saban with an entourage passing by. But guys, when we talk about this and the Brandon Cooks deal and what it means, I don't know if it affects the current negotiations going on. Mike, this would be like us going to management and saying, listen, here's what we want. And then we hear a couple of other guys in our business get a different deal, and then we come back 2 weeks later and go, oh, guess what? This is now what we want. Is that what's going on with Julio?
Well, I mean, two things. Okay, you want to run up the flagpole that NFL players should make more money? I would say, sure, yeah.
Well, we don't have a problem with that.
But we have no problem with that. But guess what? What do you want me to tell Julio? You should have developed a jump shot? The NBA's got guaranteed money. MLB's got guaranteed money. The NFL's got a really weak CBA that doesn't really allow them, in the case of Julio, the kind of freedom or leverage that he's looking for. You know, I mean, I get it. You signed a deal. 3 years later now, you've got guys that you feel you're better than making more money. We'd all be ticked off. And by the way, at the end of all of us yelling about it or guys yelling at us about it, he's going to get his deal. It's just a matter of how it's going to look.
All right, guys. Greg Knapp talked about Matt Ryan entering his 11th season. Matt Ryan's desire to improve his game, his preparation, which makes him one of the league's most consistent quarterbacks. We've talked about this. Knapp is going to help the Falcons. And it might be the best hire that the Falcons have had in this offseason, in addition to what other players we've added. But just from a front office or a coaching standpoint, Mike, he is another set of eyes that will help out our offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And, okay, and I'm just getting word Nick Saban is going to join us in 5 minutes. So Nick Saban, Alabama head coach, will join us in 5 minutes. So stay tuned. But with that said, we've talked about Greg Knapp, you know, his previous tenure here. I don't think it has anything to do with what he's going to do this time around.
Right.
I don't want to judge Greg Knapp on what he did when Mike Vick was here. I'm hoping he can come in. He's improved and gotten better as a coach, and he's going to help the Falcons.
Well, the thing about the offense, and this is something that we try to figure out why it works the way it does. We've got a fantastic offense from 20 to 20-yard line. We had 38 touchdowns from Matt Ryan in the air 2 years ago. Last year, that dropped down to 20.
Right.
And, again, all the mitigating circumstances, play calling, offensive lines play, drop passes, deflected passes, poorly thrown passes.
Sure.
You know, all that comes in the equation. I just want to see, and I don't care how they do it, that they just get a combination of more touchdowns between Matt and Julio, because we saw 10 touchdowns. We know we could get double-digit scores with these guys because they have done it in the past. So why can't we do it now when technically there's even more weapons to help open things up for Julio with the addition of a guy like Calvin Ridley?
It's a great point. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at SEC Media Days. Guys, we're going to give you a chance to win our $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest right now. And, again, stay tuned as Coach Saban is set to join Dukes and Bell here in about 5 minutes. Right now, let's give you that opportunity to win.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is
Terror. T-E-R-R-O-R.
Terror. Did you watch that show on AMC? It's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, it was on this year.
What's the one?
That's where they're shipwrecked in the Arctic about an expedition.
That's right. You told me that was the one.
I mean, not for everybody. It was kind of slow, but it was pretty.
What's the freaky one you were talking about? Black Sails?
Well, that Black Sails is the pirates, but Terror was kind of creepy too in its own way. But the word is Terror. T-E-R-R-O-R. Terror to 72881. Text Terror for our National Signing Bonus Contest. You got a few minutes, guys, so don't get nailed, pulled over for texting and driving, but get Terror, T-E-R-R-O-R. Text to 72881 for your shot at the loot.
All right, coming up, as we mentioned, we were going to talk about what Coach Saban had to say, and hopefully when we get a chance to talk to him, he will tell us directly some of the things that he answered today here at SEC Media Days. Mm-hmm. Also, for Tennessee Vol fans, Jeremy Pruitt, the new man in charge, spoke today as well, and he joined Rick and John a little bit earlier, so we'll let you hear what Jeremy Pruitt had to say. So stay tuned for that as we continue to give you the rundown here at SEC Media Days. And coming up at 6 o'clock, by the way, top three at 6, and our man, Dave Archer, is going to join us from ACC Media Day.
They used to be a real kind of laid-back, casual vibe they had up there for ACC, and now it's kind of a big, giant, heavy, big event like this where you got a zillion media members, and we're just trying to figure what we're waiting on here. We're waiting on Saban, guys, so we're going to push our commercial break back. I feel like I'm doing a broadcast, Carl, for our affiliates down the line. We're going to hold on that break because we're waiting on Coach Saban basically any second.
So Craig, just hold out on that because, again, if he walks out, he's on a tight schedule.
Right.
And
we're going to have a finite amount of time to pull this. So,
He's given us a few minutes. Our people have been in contact with him, so we want to be fair to that and don't want to get caught in the middle of a commercial break. So we will just stay here. And we'll make that up in due time, Craig. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, live at SEC Media Days. And, again, your comments are welcome. If you have a thought or two about our conversation about Julio, it's just interesting as we talk about this because – I think the number was given. Remember, his people allegedly, Mike, gave the Falcons what they wanted. And I don't know what that number is.
Right.
But since then, has the number changed? And that's basically what we were talking about. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, because that's what makes it interesting. Nobody figured that the Rams would be giving Brandon Cooks an $80 million deal.
Yeah, it's a contract extension. It does, as we said, average out to only about $16 million. And the guys were asking earlier, you said, why were you guys so hot and heavy to get Devontae Freeman a contract 2 years ago? Well, remember, guys, the wide receivers make more money than running backs. Running backs are seen as perishable items in the NFL. They're the ones when they really get close to 30, forget about it.
Yeah.
But in the case of Free, we thought he earned it. Plus, again, putting the ball in the end zone, a workhorse for this offense. And, you know, Julio's deal's different. He got a monster deal just 3 years ago. Thomas Dimitroff on record saying that they were willing to go 2 years early on the new deal. Usually you wait till you're going into your final year. That has been the way the Falcons have handled their superstars. But, hey, all we got to do, guys, and all these conversations, it's a moot point as long as we get back in the playoffs and Julio's in the end zone and they're scoring. And whether it's Calvin Ridley or it's Sanu, and whatever a Greg Knapp-influenced offense on Steve Sarkisian is going to look like, let's just score more points, man. We all know what happened last year. We score one more touchdown a game. We're
in business.
We might even be the Super Bowl champs.
We're in business. Hey, a couple of other stories you might have missed, and we'll get more into this in the 6 o'clock hour. Kawhi Leonard traded today to the Toronto Raptors, disgruntled. But he is traded for DeMar DeRozan. It's Leonard and Danny Green going to Toronto. This is interesting. Toronto's first-round pick to San Antonio is protected. This also includes a 2019 first-round pick. So it's protected 1 through 20. After year one, it becomes 2 second-round picks. So I don't know how you view this whole thing. As I said, I think it's a good deal for the Spurs. But we will see, and also we'll tell you more about the Hawks, who are looking to maybe move Dennis Schroeder as well. Sitting down with us right now, the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Hey, Coach. How are you?
Nick
Mike
Saban
and Carl.
Joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And I know it's been a busy day, Coach. I'm curious to know, why is everybody trying to run you out, Coach? Everybody's asking you about retirement. And you said Miss Terry's not ready for you to retire.
No, that's for sure. She didn't want me at home. Look, I have to be busy. I enjoy what I do. That's never changed. The relationships with players, being part of a team since I was 9 years old, I get scared just thinking about it. So, you know, I feel good. I'm healthy. I want to continue for as long as I can. And certainly the challenges at Alabama are something that are unique in terms of this tradition, the expectation, the kind of players that we have, and the commitment that I've made to the players that are there. So we're all in.
And you still enjoy doing it? You got a younger staff? You're always bringing in the right pieces, it seems like, every year.
Yeah, well, I think this last time we – lost a lot of good coaches, but man, we really, you know, sort of hit a home run with the guys that we were able to bring in. Really good recruiters, very good relationships with the players, you know, and I think a little younger, a little more energy and enthusiasm, and that's always welcome.
We're talking with head coach Nick Saban here on Dukes and Bell. We were talking to Brad Nestler, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, you're entertaining. You know, the Coke bottle thing, and I'm about to ask you a question. I'm glad you don't have a Coke bottle here. But everybody wants to know, Coach, what's the situation with the quarterbacks? And, you know, listen, after what you guys did in the national championship, it was incredible, and what Tua was able to do. But the question we always get is, how do you not play a guy that's won 26 games for you, right?
Right.
What's the situation?
Well, I think that we have to be fair in giving both guys a really good opportunity. And I think one of the two players have to win the team. And I think both guys are capable to contribute to the team, and that's also a possibility that both guys play a role in what our team does. So it's just a competition, no different than a competition at any other position. And I don't think it's been determined yet. So you just kind of let it play out. And I'm not sure that I can set some date and say on August the 18th it's going to get determined. It's going to get determined when it gets determined, and that's going to be the way it has to be.
Nick Saban's with us here, guys, and we've got your protege's got a similar situation. We've got a great athlete in Fields that he recruited along with Fromm. But do you want to lock in on one guy, or do you want to go with a hot hand, or do you want to see multiple quarterbacks? We've seen that in the past, or you want to stick with one guy for the job?
Well, I want somebody to win the team, and if that doesn't happen, we'll have to wait till it happens. And I think we'll know when it happens, and we'll kind of go from there. But This is a different situation than we had a year ago. You know, when Tua was a freshman, Jalen was the starter. You know, Tua not only had to beat him out, he had to do something to allow Tua the opportunity, because out of respect for him and the number of games that he won, you couldn't just put the other guy in. It would be detrimental for the other guy.
Right.
And it's going to be the same thing with other teams that have quarterback controversies and they have young guys that are talented. You put those guys in there and fail, man, that could ruin them. So you kind of protect them as they come along, which is what we did with Tua last year. Play him as much as we could play him. If the other guy struggled, we could always put him in the game, and he had enough experience to respond. And that's exactly what happened to us in a Georgia game.
Coach, how proud are you of your coaching tree? I mean, obviously Kirby's at Georgia, right? Now you got Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, and you're going to have to see him.
Jimbo.
But, yeah, I mean, now you're looking around your league, and you're going, okay. I mean, but there has to be some pride in that too, right?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. You know, Jim McElwain was at Florida and did a really pretty good job. And, you know, Will's at South Carolina, the guys that you mentioned. You know, Jason Garrett used to coach for me, coach at Oregon. You know, Cristobal coached for us. And so it really does make me proud that so many guys did such a good job that it enabled them to get an opportunity where they have a chance to be successful, because that's really what they worked and did a good job for us, was so that they could get the next opportunity. I really wouldn't want coaches on my staff that were satisfied with just being an assistant and didn't really want to be a coordinator, or was a coordinator that didn't really want to work hard to be a head coach. So I'm happy that those guys' dreams and what they work for came true for them, and I'm proud of the fact that they're doing a good job.
Well, Coach, before we cut you, we've got a pitch count because obviously a lot of media responsibilities coming. Coach, the linebacker core, last year you overcame all those injuries. Seemed like every week somebody was going down. How are your linebackers looking for this season?
Well, we already had one go down. You know, yeah. Terrell Lewis, who was one of the guys that got hurt last year in the first game of the year, was probably one of our most productive defensive players going into the season because of the versatility he had and the things that he could do. So we still got a couple good ones. We still got a couple good inside. We don't really have the depth that we've had at that position. So we're not going to be able to sustain injuries like we did a year ago. So hopefully we get a little lucky at that position.
Coach, did you guys run out of gas with the pontoon? What happened?
The fuel pump went out.
I'm telling you. We saw that story. We're like, come on. Did it really?
The fuel pump went out. Brand new boat, first time out in it.
Unbelievable.
I got a lot of gas cans if you need one. A lot of people send me gas cans.
I might need one.
Thanks so much, Coach. We know you got a lot to do today. Appreciate you giving us 5 minutes.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Coach Nick Saban, Alabama Crimson Tide guys, national champs.
And thanks, everybody over at Bama, for squeezing Coach in with us as well. All the SID and everybody else over there at Bama.
All right, guys, we're coming back. Now we can take our break. It's good to get Coach Saban on. We're coming back. We got plenty more live from SEC Media Days. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Guess what time it is?
Now it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
All right, man, it is time for our big story. A couple of things going on here at SEC Media Days. And if you just missed Coach Nick Saban joining us, we'll have that audio for you on the website. And I think Knox Bardeen actually recorded it. It should be up as well at 929 of the game. Coach Saban saying, listen, the big question for Alabama, guys, and we know this, they are here today at SEC Media Days, is, you know, it's not a bad thing, but what is going to be the situation with the quarterback?
Right.
And who's going to be the guy? And you know, for Coach Saban, he's been doing this a long time. He's 66. He'll be 67 in the season, you know, during the season. He knows what it means when he says it's got to happen. He's not just going to choose a guy because that's the guy he feels like. It's got to happen, meaning you've got to earn it and you've got to win the team. And so if that's Tua, it's going to be Tua. If it's Jalen Hurts who does it, then that's going to be the situation. But, you know, I love this about Coach Saban, and that is, Mike, no matter what you did last season, it don't matter. You got to come back and earn it again this year. And he's never been a guy that has just allowed players to come back and go, well, you know, he had a good season for us last year. He's our starter.
Yeah.
And not just a quarterback. You look at his linebackers, his DNs, his old linemen, that's how he's approached things at Alabama.
Well,
I think that's one of the reasons why they've had the kind of success they've had.
Well, there's a similarity there between him and the Patriots. I mean, Belichick and him are buddies.
And
there's an obvious connection there in the way they run it. I mean, and that's why we brought Kirby Smart. We, as in the Royal, we, Georgia, brought Kirby Smart into Athens. And that's why Tennessee brought Jeremy Pruitt up there. is you want some of that. We joked around. Remember, genius juice. But the guy, as we said, and I think a lot of listeners were hitting us up on Twitter and on our Salmon Brothers Diamond text line saying, Nick sounded like he's in a good mood. It's not like he walks around ready to chomp people's heads off. He just hates getting asked dumb questions.
Yeah, and you would too if if it was you continuously being asked questions that really, you know, I don't know if he doesn't have the answer, but he considers to be questions that you should know better to ask me that at this particular time. So, yeah, man, he's in a good mood. He's always been good with us whenever we've had a chance to talk to him. I've never had a bad experience. That's why I can joke about the Coke bottle, because he knows at the end of the day, you know, he's shutting things down that he didn't want to discuss. And he can do that in Tuscaloosa. You know, that's fine. But I think Coach Saban is brilliant. I'm willing to tell you guys, and I know a lot of people think I hate Alabama. Listen, when you win as much as they do, that's just a factor of it. I do not. But, Mike, I think when it's all said and done, this guy could easily go down as the best college football coach in the history of the game. And some people already think that he is that based on what he's been able to achieve. So, you know, it's not done yet, but a hell of a resume.
Well, it would have been something. That's why if Georgia could just have held on, man, that second and 26. And then, you know, and we, you know, we've talked about it a million times, and we talked about it there briefly with Coach Saban. But, you know, the balls to go out and make that move in second half. You know, and dial it up. And now, as he said, he doesn't want to rotate guys. He wants a guy, one quarterback, to win that job. So what that means for Jalen Hurts, whether his dad said they take their ball and leave, or how it's going to play out, because Tagovailoa could be, you know, starting for anybody based on that performance in one half of football.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We'd love to hear your feedback at 404-741-0929. Alabama fans hitting us up on the Twitter saying great job, and we appreciate hearing Coach Saban. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to bring you guys that you don't normally get a chance to talk to. And I will tell you this, during the season, he's not talking to anybody. I mean, he really doesn't. You know, when you talk about his weekly presser, and I think the coaches show, which is there, that's pretty much all he does. He does not do a whole lot of national media, and he doesn't do a whole lot of interviews, period. So this is always a good time to get in before the season rolls around, and we love doing that. Hey, man, part of our other big story, and I want you to hear Jeremy Pruitt, as our midday guys, Rick and John, had a chance to catch up with Jeremy Pruitt today. We asked Coach Saban about this coaching tree. He's got a bunch of guys now, as you look around college football, that have either coached with him or have been on his staff in some way, shape, or form. Jeremy Pruitt is one of those guys. And Rick and John asked Jeremy Pruitt what he wanted to get across to SEC fans today.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity to kind of share your vision of where you want the program to go. I know a lot of guys can talk about maybe last year and bridging last year to this year. We don't have that opportunity because we wasn't in Tennessee. So I think it's a great opportunity to share Terra fans and people across the country what they can expect to see out of Tennessee football in the future.
Coach, what is your vision for Tennessee football in the future?
We want to build a championship program. We want our guys to graduate. When they leave Tennessee, we want them to leave with a degree, a ring, and something more. You know, with the staff that we've assembled, if that's all they leave with, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to feel like we failed them.
Coach Pruitt with us here at the Omni Hotel at SEC Media Days. Five-time national champion, 17, 13, 12, 11, and 09. That's a heck of a resume. And now, of course, a cherry head coaching gig with the Tennessee Volunteers. What kind of championship wisdom can you impart on these young fellas on your team?
Well, to me, I think you got to be who you are. As a football team, you got to figure out who you are. Don't try to be something you're not. I think there's something to old-fashioned hard work. You know, for us this year, getting the foundation started, you know, everybody wants to talk about how many games we're going to win and all that. To me, I think we're trying to establish who we are, you know, how we're going to play. We're going to play with toughness. We're going to play together. We're going to be smart football players. How are we going to handle adversity? All those things. I think this team will have an opportunity to set the tone for what's going to happen in the future.
Coach, college football fans, as you know, and you've been in the SEC a while and in the ACC as well, too, they don't have a lot of patience. What do you tell them when it's, you know, trying to rebuild a program that's been very proud but has obviously fallen on some hard times the last couple of years? How do you, like, preach patience to fans?
Well, I don't have any patience. So we're all in the same boat. So I think we're all going to look at it the exact same way.
You know, your first game is against West Virginia. West Virginia has a big-time upside. Some people think that they can win the Big 12. Got a hotshot quarterback in Will Grier. Talk about that first game. That's a tough crack right out of the gate.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for us to go to Charlotte. You know, Charlotte's 3 hours away. We have a lot of alumni that live in that city, and we recruit that state. So, and so does West Virginia. So it's going to be a great matchup, tremendous challenge for our guys. But that's why I went to Tennessee. That's why the players come to Tennessee to play in games like this. So hopefully this will be one of many more.
Coach, what's the biggest change going from defensive coordinator to head coach? What's different on your plate?
Well, probably the biggest thing is right now I would be working on an opponent if I was a defensive coordinator, and I'm sitting here in Atlanta getting an opportunity to talk to you guys.
I love it. So, very simply, who's your quarterback?
Have no idea. Got four options, and it'll be interesting. You know, two guys were there during the spring. We've got two newcomers that are coming in. So, for us, it's going to be a challenge to narrow it down, mm-hmm. to get the reps, be efficient with the reps, so we can get an idea of who's the better guy, who can operate the team and all that. So we've got a lot of unknowns for our football team.
Coach, we know you got a lot of media obligations. People are shooing you along. So we appreciate you coming on here in Atlanta for a few moments, and best of luck this upcoming year and in the future at Tennessee.
Thank you, guys.
Jeremy Pruitt with our midday guys, Rick and John, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got our man Mike Conte coming up. We got our top three at six, guys, as we'll run down the top stories for you here. One of them being what you just heard. If you missed it and you're just jumping in the car, Nick Saban jumped on Dukes and Bell here because that's what he does when he comes to the A.
Hey, well, he came on the number one show. First, we're the first guys, and actually only two stations got him. So great job by Bo Morgan and, again, Samwell Tarley, our man Brian Gephardt, and grabbing the coach. Great job working with Alabama to get us coach.
All right, coming up next is Mike Conte, in case you missed it on Dukes and Bell.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, it's a time to talk to our man Mike Conte back at the studio. It's Dukes and Bell live at SEC Media Days. We'll let you hear a little bit of what Coach Saban had to tell us just literally moments ago, coming up at 6 o'clock, and a few other big stories, one of them including our Hawks potentially trading for an NBA star. We'll tell you all about that. But Mike Conte, what you got working, man?
You guys remember our old buddy Frank from that airport fight with Pac-Man Jones?
Yeah, Frank Reagan is the guy that started, and then, Pac-Man finished in the B concourse.
Our buddy Frank, he made a court appearance yesterday down there in Clayton County. And Frank didn't look so hot, guys. Was wheeled into the courtroom in a wheelchair, had several casts on his body. I mean, we watched the fight. We watched the video. I didn't think Pac-Man really tagged him good.
Wait, time out. Mike, was there a piece of the video we missed where the 1975 Philadelphia Flyers came running down the concourse?
I don't know if Dave Schultz came sprinting out of zone 3 on that flight to Pensacola to kind of put the finisher on old Frank there. I don't know. But, I mean, Frank looked really, really awful in court yesterday, of course, wearing the jumpsuit. At several points of the hearing, and a lot of video was shown on TV news last night here in Atlanta. So if you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. Frank kind of with his head in his hands, putting his head down on the desk. Just really, really not in good shape. Well, Pac-Man Jones taking a little bit of a victory lap today, guys, on his snap. He posted a photo of Frank there at the defendant's table. By the way, the defendant next to Frank, who's also at the table, appears to be sleeping during the hearing.
You know, you get tuckered out with all that legalese, man.
In fact, really, all the guys wearing orange jumpsuits in this photo, there are a lot of guys in the courtroom. None of them look very energized to be in the courtroom to defend themselves. But anyhow, Pac-Man Jones taking a little victory lap on his snap. He posted a photo of Frank there with it almost looks like he's crying, actually. And Pac-Man captioned it by saying, "Don't cry now, hamster. When you lost the fight, your job, your leg, and you're getting found guilty, this is the moment you realized you started it all."
Yeah. Wow. Hell hath no fury like Pac-Man. Don't start no muss, won't be no muss.
Don't start none, won't be none. Listen, I think Frank, who we've kind of acknowledged, did not value his job, will rethink things next time he wants to beef with somebody.
We were trying to get Frank on the show, but it might take a whole lot of quarters from county to get that call.
Frank might find it difficult to make himself employable in the near future, Carl. Not a lot of companies take kindly on hiring convicted felons, but he is facing battery charges not only on Pac-Man, but also they're saying he got a piece of Pac-Man's girl, so they gave him a second count for that. So Frank's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you should give him three charges, good, man. Frank, he assaulted the Popeye's chicken. And the other thing is, Carl, it's not like the guy can go start a career as a backyard brawler like Kimbo Slice or anything. Cause,
it's a losing count, giving up
30 pounds and a couple inches to Pac-Man, he got smoked. Back to Mike Conti in the studio.
So, Mike, I know you've talked a lot about some of the good things that Liberty Media has done with Formula One since they took ownership of it. And we mentioned how the TV ratings are up. Do you watch Formula E at all, which I think is the electric cars?
Yeah, you know what? I tried because Steve Matchett, who used to work for NBC Sports and is a former Formula One mechanic, he's been blogging about it. I mean, I like racing with the sound and the fury and all that, but they are getting some big numbers in their own right. People are excited about it. All the big manufacturers in Germany, Carl, are having race teams now in Formula E electric cars.
Well, and Mike Conti, I mean, I don't know. Mike certainly is more of a fan, and he kind of fills me in and fills the blanks in for me. You know, he was in Monaco a few months back. But you're telling me this is helping. This is helping.
Well, the thing is, Formula One, those cars are technically a hybrid. Those are gas-electric hybrids that run in Formula One on a very small engine for all the horsepower they generate. But the Formula E thing, obviously, is getting a lot of juice. It's big. But the cars, I'm not a big fan of how they look, but they've been racing in places like Brooklyn.
Right.
They had a big race in New York. I think it was last week, Mike.
That's exactly right. And, in fact, there is some controversy that has erupted from that race, which was, by the way, the end of the Formula E season. The Formula E sanctioning body find the winner of the race, and I don't want to mispronounce his name. I think it's Jean-Eric Verne.
Verne. He used to race in F1.
Good. Then I was a lot closer than I thought. He and his teammate both fined $6,000 and 2 points against their license. Their violation was wearing non-compliant underwear.
I saw that.
Now, this might be a little bit confusing to people who don't follow racing.
Was it not flame retardant, Mike?
That's exactly what it was. They were not wearing flame retardant underwear. Now, some people thought, well, now, wait a minute. I mean, is your underwear sponsored, or does it have to be a certain color, or do they have the underwear inspector check things after a race? No, but they found afterwards that it was a safety violation, really, and for good reason. They make these drivers wear flame retardant underwear because, sadly, the underwear has been put to the test before.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, like Niki Lauda, the most famous fire, but there's been often fire is the biggest fear. The thing with the electric car is the only thing I was aware of for danger, Mike, is you just got to jump off and land with 2 feet. You can't ground yourself with those cars until let me make sure it's off. I didn't realize, I mean, you wouldn't think that fire would, but I guess electric batteries could still fire up, but I can understand why they want to maybe go for comfort.
First of all, I didn't even realize they had those underwear on. I had no idea.
Well, he is French. Was it a bikini brief, Mike?
You think they're racing commando, Carl? I don't think so.
Well, I would have. I mean, that's how I roll.
James Hunt famously went commando but he still had a fire flame retardant thermal on over his privates.
Yeah, no, and then James Hunt went into the broadcast booth for a long time. No, you have to wear it. Maybe we're being a little bit deceptive with the term underwear. We aren't talking about briefs or boxers. We're talking about the fire suit that they have to wear under their external fire suit. That's all it is.
Right.
EA Sports, by the way, has announced, not sure if you guys have gotten into this today, that the athlete on the cover of Madden 19 is going to be Antonio Brown. And
they're done.
They're done. It only curses like 75% of the time.
Well, the only we actually kind of took a look at this back here at the studio. The only non-cursed Madden cover athlete of the last decade has been Tom Brady, but the last Steeler to go on the Madden cover was Troy Polamalu, and he did get hurt. And I think Larry Fitzgerald, who he was on the cover with, also got hurt. Donovan McNabb has gotten hurt. Eddie George has gotten hurt being on the Madden cover.
Listen, Conti, I'm not wishing anything bad for Antonio Brown, but he's done. He's done. He's done.
We'll finally have 1 year where I can't argue about him having more touchdowns than Julio. Are you happy?
If I'm Antonio Brown, I'm like, take me off the cover. Take me off now. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. Mike Conti, in case you missed it, great job.
Mike, boxer or briefs?
I wear boxer briefs.
Nice. Carl?
You?
Depends on the day. Depends on if I'm outdoors, it's summertime, humid. Sometimes I go commando.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm the exact same way.
Right on, brother. We swing pretty freely on this program.
Well,
Mike,
and I got to be honest. Sometimes, Mike, I just want to let them go. Hey, coming up, top three at 6, and we think we're going to catch up with the head coach of Vandy as well.
You can ask Derek Mason if he goes commando.
No, but I will ask him about Alabama. You're next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.